From KMXT in Kodiak, this is the Alaska Fisheries Report. I'm Maggie Wall. Salmon season kicks off, and southeast troll caught kings are worth twice, that is, two times the value of a barrel of oil. We'll look at the forecast for salmon around the state, including the Nooshogak River, which supports one of the largest king runs in the world. Shifting from salmon to crab, the price of crab quotas is on the rise, but new rules are cutting into crew shares. And since Memorial Day weekend is Crab Festival weekend here in Kodiak, we'll throw in a special King Crab song, just for fun. All that and more on this week's edition of the Alaska Fisheries Report, right after this.
The Alaska Fisheries Report is brought to you in part by the Alaska Marine Safety Education Association, providing U.S. Coast Guard accepted hands-on safety training for all of Alaska fishermen and their family. AMC at amsea.org or 907-747-3287.
Alaska's salmon season officially opened last week. Let's take a look around and see what's happening in various areas of the state. In the Copper River, fishing time has been reduced to get enough king salmon upriver to spawn. The fewest kings in over 30 years are expected to return, and the total catch is limited to just 4,000 fish. Trollers in southeast Alaska also are seeing cutbacks on king salmon catches due to conservation concerns and treaty agreements with Canada. The total take this year is 209,700 kings, which is down 146,000 fish from last year. Here's an interesting tidbit you can share with your friends this holiday weekend. Trollers wrapped up a winter fishery at the end of April and got record prices for their king salmon, averaging $9.83 a pound. At an average weight of about 10 pounds, that makes one king salmon worth double the price of oil. Here in Kodiak, the salmon season gets underway between June 1st and 9th. The exact date depends on sockeye escapements at the Big Karlik system on the southwest side of the island. The Kodiak catch calls for 2.5 million reds and more than 28 million pink salmon this season. That compares to a harvest of 3 million last year. Kodiak was one of three Alaska regions up for relief funds from last year's failed pink salmon fishery, which was the worst in over 40 years. The pink fisheries in Kodiak, Cook Inlet, and Prince William Sound were declared a disaster in January. That set the stage for fishermen and other stakeholders to apply for relief dollars from the federal government. The money, however, was not included in the huge $1 trillion-plus spending bill, which was approved by Congress to keep the government operating through September. Congress could choose to appropriate the money separately, but chances of that happening are slim.
Support for the Alaska Fisheries Report comes from the Alaska Seafood Marketing Institute, working to raise the value of our seafood harvest for the benefit of all Alaskans, on the web at alaskaseafood.org.
Now out to Bristol Bay, where the Nooshogak River consistently supports one of the largest king salmon runs in the world, maintaining productivity through recent seasons when Chinook numbers have been down statewide. The in-river escapement goal is 95,000 fish, which managers expect it to meet or beat this year. On average, the Nooshogak supports a commercial fishery catch of 42,000 kings, a subsistence catch of 12,000, and a sports fish take of more than 6,000. KDLG's Nick Shalino has more on the 2017 outlook.
While ADF&G no longer posts a formal forecast for the run, Bristol Bay Sportfish Area Management biologist Jason Dye says data showing high escapement in parent years suggests another healthy king run for the Nooshogak.
The last couple years has been really productive. We've exceeded the in river goals. So I would say as of right now, I'm cautiously optimistic is kind of what I tell people. So all the signs are pretty good, but anything can happen.
The goal for in-river escapement is for 95,000 fish to pass the sonar near Portage Creek. In years with big runs, sport fishermen are allowed to fish for kings in the Nooshigak with fewer restrictions. If the run struggles, Dye can add sport fishing restrictions, the commercial fishery can add mesh size restrictions, and lastly, the subsistence harvest could be curtailed. To further the understanding of this king run, which has been outperforming many others, Dye will take part in a catch-and-release mortality study this season.
We're going to be catching fish via hook and line, mirroring the sport fishery in terms of the gear type, and we'll be putting a radio tag into each fish that we capture, and then tracking those fish for 5 days.
Dye says if a tagged fish stops moving, the signal will change to let biologists know the fish has died from handling. He hopes this data will help answer some questions about the effect of the heavy sport fishing effort on Nooshigak kings.
It would give us definitely a better handle on what is actually escaping to spawn. That improves everything, so you get a better idea of how many fish are actually spawning, and then you get returns off of those spawning numbers, and it just basically improves all your numbers. And it could allow for more harvest, it could allow for less harvest. It's difficult to say at this point what the impact would be.
125,000 kings made it up to spawn in the Nooshigak last season. They surged early, reaching escapement goals around the 4th of July. It's already open to fish for king salmon in Bristol Bay. Area lodges are booking clients for the second week of June. I'm Nick Shalino, KDLG News.
The Alaska Fisheries Report is brought to you in part by AK Teach, now enrolling K-12 homeschool students throughout the state of Alaska, creating partnerships that are flexible, family-friendly, and unique to your child. More information is available at AK Teach or at 907-942-0667.
Well, I've spent my life in the Bering Sea,
fishing for the king.
Oh, it's not the easy life for me,
fishing for the king.
But if the price is not too cheap, we'll pull those crabs up from the deep. And it's 40 hours before I sleep,
fishing for the king, boys, fishing for the king.
Well, my ship's a $1 million boat,
fishing for the king.
And I hope to God she stays afloat,
fishing for the king.
But if somehow my ship goes down, I'll freeze to death before I drown, and pray my body will be found,
fishing for the king, boys, fishing for the king.
Fishing for the King by the Kodiak Group, Waterbound. The Bering Sea crab quota share price is going up, but crews are facing quota losses. Lainey Welch from Alaska Fish Radio in Kodiak has more.
As with halibut and black cod, Bering Sea crab fisheries also operate under a system that allots shares of the catch to fishermen. For crab, the pool of shares is split each year among roughly 400 owning entities.
On a per-pound basis, the prices have gone up, but if you look at the total allowable catch, it's been cut significantly over the past few years.
Jeff Osborne at Dock Street Brokers in Seattle is the go-to guy for crab shares. Catch quotas for Bristol Bay Red King crab are listed at $55 per pound, snow crab at $16 to $28, and Tanner crab at $8 to $13 a pound.
Lately, it's been much more limited. It's subject to the same influences that black cod and halibut are. If you've got guys that might be interested in selling, but you're looking at a tack that's been cut by 50%, 60%, 70%, or reduced to nothing, they're not too keen on selling when everything looks down in spite of the higher prices.
Uncertainty over new rules coming for some crab quota holders also has stalled the market. Crew or skippers who own shares but don't have active participation in the crab fishery by June 30th, 2019, will have their quota revoked.
In the past, you needed to fulfill certain requirements in order to purchase the quota, but once it was purchased, you did not need to stay active in the fishery. That's changing. So, you know, there are a lot of guys who participated in the fishery, you know, their whole lives, and now they're retired, and they're being forced to either basically get back in the fishery, even if on a minimal basis, or they're going to have to sell their quota or lose it.
Another change crabbers are concerned about, Osborne says, is climate change.
People are worried about it, but they don't know what to do about it.
Well, I like to spend some time in port,
fishing for the king.
And I love the girls who like to sport,
fishing for the king.
But though they make me laugh and smile, it only lasts a little while. And I miss fishing all the while.
Fishing for the king, boys, fishing for the king.
Well, I've often thought of settling down,
fishing for the king,
and moving to a house in town,
fishing for the king.
But if I got a house and wife, and tried to live the easy life, it'd kill me quicker than a knife.
Fishing for the king, boys, fishing for the king.
Well, the Bering Sea's an awful place,
fishing for the king.
It numbs my hands and chills my face,
fishing for the king.
But though the water's awful cold, the crabs are worth their weight in gold. And now my story has been told.
Fishing for the king, boys, fishing for the king.
The Alaska Fisheries Report is brought to you in part by Alaska Boats and Permits. Marine broker for vessels, permits, and IFQs. 1-800-992-4960 or online at alaskaboat.com.
That's it for this week's edition of the Alaska Fisheries Report. We had help from Lainey Welch at Alaska Fish Radio, Nick Shalino from KDLG in Dillingham, and the crab song Fishing for the King is by the Kodiak group Waterbound. Remember, if you are planning to be waterbound this holiday weekend, be sure to wear a life jacket in the skiff and have safety gear on your fishing vessel. As always, a big thank you to everyone who helps make this program possible each week, including you, our listeners, and all the radio stations that air the show. From KMXT in Kodiak, I'm Maggie Wall.